You're listening to FBC Perspective, a podcast from First Baptist Church, Kelowna.
Welcome to our Perspective podcast, where we talk about things that help us live better lives. My name is Kevin, I'm your host, and I am really glad you could join us today. I want to ask you, how is your health? And are you happy with where things are at, or do you feel like it could be doing better? How is it? How are you doing? Health is a topic that I am really interested in, and not just physical health, but emotional, mental, and spiritual. And to me, all of these things are related. And I know that if one of these things is lacking, it will impact the other one. Well, a couple years ago, I was at a pastor's conference, and one of the guest speakers spoke on health and its relationship and effects on other areas of our lives. And I was fascinated by the topic. And it was such a great presentation that I thought, I've got to get her on my podcast. Well, that was a couple years ago, but I'm really happy to be having this conversation about health today, finally, with that exact speaker, Rochelle Kerber, who is a health professional, a registered nurse with years of experience in acute care and trauma care, and probably lots of other things that I'm missing here, but she could tell us about, who has a passion for helping people live healthier lives. Rochelle, so glad to have you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm quite honored to be even asked to come, so thanks.
Well, I'm looking forward to what you have to say, and I hope it impacts our audience the way it impacted me when you spoke at Banff.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I hope so too.
So I'm wondering if you can tell us a bit about your journey with health and what inspires your passion on this topic, because you're very passionate about health.
You know what? I think that if, when I think about that question, it goes back to being a child. And when I was a kid, I grew up in a home where diets, and it was in the 80s, and fads of, you know, society kind of were to be dieting. And I saw a lot of measured food and lists on the fridge of what could be eaten that day and what had been eaten, and kind of a lot of control around the topic. And it just was what it was. It was what I knew. But when I would go to my grandmother's house, she had this flipped perspective, and I didn't spend a ton of time there, but when I did, there was a freedom about it that I think even as a young child, I couldn't put words to, but I really liked it. And my grandma saw the world in a way that was, instead of like kind of more controlling and stuff, it was like, let's take food and appreciate it for the good things it can add to our life. So she would talk about like how if you take vitamin C at the same time as you take calcium, it helps you to absorb things. And that might be like just a normal everyday thought that lots of people know. But as a 10-year-old, I was like, oh my gosh, grandma, you're brilliant. Like, that's so cool. And she'd be like, well, let's put flaxseed in these pancakes because it makes them healthier. And, you know, she always talked about nuts and seeds and things that build life into you instead of like just trying to follow this regimen. And she was very free about it all. And I really appreciated her perspective. And her take was more like, we've been given these healthy bodies, how can I take care of it? When I turned 19, I went into nursing in nursing school at the U of A in Edmonton. And shortly near the end, I ended up working at the Cross Cancer Institute for about a year and a half. And at the time when I was there, it was the late 90s, and the average age of cancer diagnosis in North Americans was 57. And I started really asking the question about why. And it seems to me like, you know, I understand that we all need to die of something, and that sometimes when, you know, cancer even hits us in our older, like senior years, it's kind of like, well, you know, you have to die of something. But this was like a disease where I was taking care of these patients who were young, some in their 20s even, right? And of course, it even hits pediatric patients. And I started asking us, so why is this happening? And I started thinking about some of the carcinogens that would be found in our food products, like the insecticides and stuff used on our wheat. And the carrageenan, I know, is a product found in sour cream that they found in the 80s was causing bowel cancer, and oh, wow, the parabens in our skin creams and stuff. And I just started thinking, you know, what can I take out of my life that would help build health into myself and my family. And then started also thinking about what I can put into my life, like the antioxidants found in the fruits and vegetables that we eat that actually fight these diseases. And so I think that that was probably, you know, near the beginning of my life or the first half of my life, those were really significant things that grew my love for the topic. And if you zoom ahead a few years, in 2012, I started working in the Wetaskiwin emergency room. And you commonly sit as a nurse there at a triage desk. And I started making these correlations between poor diet and sedentary lifestyle, excess body weight, which results, you know, from that, and the diseases that are connected to it. So you'd see someone sit at the triage desk who, and I'm going to use the word obesity, connected to a body mass index. I'm not sure. Trying to be rude by using that word. I notice to call someone obese seems mean, and I'm not trying to say that. But when you actually look at a body mass index score, there is a score, right, that tells you if you're generally speaking within a slim, healthy category or an overweight category or an obese category.
Right.
And so, you know, I'd have someone sit down at the triage desk and say, and you could tell that they were in a obese or overweight category, and they, you know, 60 years old, for example, and they'd say, yeah, I know I don't have any previous health conditions. And sometimes you can look at someone and just be like, well, I would say, what about any high blood pressure? And then I get answers like, oh yeah, well, no, I guess I have high blood pressure because I take meds for that. So it's controlled. Or I'd say, what about diabetes? Oh yeah. Like, so this person has just told me that they have no underlying health conditions until I prod them, because I know the ones that actually go with an overweight lifestyle. Right. And so the things that are on that list would be high blood pressure, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes, sleep apnea. And when you add things like smoking to it, you've kind of, which a lot of people still do, unfortunately, you end up over the length of time running into issues with heart and stroke, a ton of suffering and early death, you know? And so I just really started to, you know, even in my years of inpatients, you'd watch this lack of independence, loss of dignity, having to put people up in these big lifts because they're literally so large that we couldn't, you know, get them to a wheelchair, and it would take four nurses to turn them in a bed. Like, I think people, when they're young, don't necessarily see that, those first, you know, diagnoses that are a part of it. But over the length of time, it ends up affecting everything, you know, relationships, sexuality, quality of life, all those things. So,
right. So that's
probably the history for me as far as, yeah.
So it sounds like it's not just about living longer and lifespan. It's about quality of life, that you're seeing these impacts really impacts people's quality of life.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I mean, there's times where I think that, yeah, I mean, you can have people who do take care of themselves and end up with a heart attack or whatever. My husband is an example of that, where he's super fit and all the rest, but that's really just a tiny proportion of those people, right? And sometimes people can live a really long time but suffer a ton and not be able to actually, yeah, you know, get down on the floor with their grandkids or go hiking in the mountains or whatever, because they've got, you know, joint issues or whatever from extra weight that they carry and just from not being able to even get your heart rate up to go for a bike ride or you know,
yeah,
a walk that's further.
So when you started putting all these pieces together, like your journey with your grandmother and then your early career, what did you do with this realization of these connections between people's, you know, undiagnosed physical health, I guess, but you did some digging and found that they did actually have issues. What did you do with this realization? Like, where did it take you?
You know what? I think that this realization brought about in me the desire to help people to see that there is a better way to live. And one of the roles that we have as nurses is teaching. And teaching as a nurse is a great tool, because I'm not personal to people, right? I can have a conversation with you and I might never see you again. And so it's a great place to be able to speak some truth. And if I'm gentle and kind, I've had some conversations with people that have been, where literally someone will sit there and very quickly go into like an emotional state where they actually wanted to talk about it, but didn't know what to do. And so
right.
I ended up reading a book that was written in 2009 by Michael Pollan, and many of your speakers may have heard of him. He wrote this little book called Food. Do you love him?
Oh, I do.
Honestly only read his one book, and it's called called Food Rules. It's tiny and it's like 64 little rules about little things that you can do daily just to add health to your life, right? So it's like shopping on the outer edge of the grocery store, because that's where the fresh food is and stuff like that. But he actually runs into three, he actually, all of his rules run under three categories. So if you don't mind, Kevin, I'm going to use you as an example, but I'm going to change you because I actually know that you're a healthy guy. Okay. So, but I'm going to pretend that you're my patient. Okay.
Okay. This should
and,
be fun.
Yeah. Good time. and kind of walk through with you what it would look like if you were sitting at my triage desk or like in my, I currently am working at a, in an outpatient department where we do pre-surgical assessments. And so I'm constantly able to see these things that correlate to disease. It's quite fascinating. I think that's what continually makes this more solid in my thinking. So Kevin sits down in front of me and we said, you're 51 years old, right? Kevin, is that okay to spill that?
Well, that little... yeah, I suppose.
I can make you younger if you want.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say I'm 49. I'm 49.
49. And Kevin's had a tough time with COVID because everybody tells me, well, you know, I've got these extra COVID pounds, which on a side note, I would actually tell you, it makes me so sad when I hear people say that. Because in my humble opinion, I feel like when you've got a disease or like a virus that's hitting everybody and it actually is attacking your lungs and stuff, I'm like, why wouldn't you go and actually like fight that off by being healthy and by finding ways to exercise, even when you're isolated and all those things. Right. So anyways, that's a side note, but my little friend Kevin says I look at this chart, he's 51 or 49 years old. And I've just done a height and weight on Kevin. And it turns out that his body mass index puts him in the obese category. So if those of you don't know Kevin, he's very fit and he's not obese, but I'm going to pretend he is.
Thank you. We've just looked
at his medications and he's taken, you're welcome. He's taking a blood pressure medication and a high cholesterol pill. And he says, when I ask him about diabetes, he's like, well, you know what? I don't have diabetes, but my doctor's kind of watching to see where that goes. And in my head, I'm already kind of looking at all that thinking, you have a lot of things that are, that lead towards, honestly, early death, right? And so because I care about Kevin, and I literally mean that, when I have someone sitting in front of me, I just think, like, you were made for more than this. And I actually just want to take a moment to speak life to them if I can, right? And we don't always have time to teach, but when I have the opportunity, I love to take it. So I say to you, Kevin, you know, I'm just going to take a quick minute, and I literally can do the speech in a minute and a half sometimes. And sometimes I can take more time if I have it, or if someone's willing to engage the conversation. But I can just say, you know what, Kevin, I look at your age and the extra weight that you're carrying, and what I see from like the meds that you're taking and the questionable already early onset of diabetes, you know what, these diagnoses are leading towards health conditions that can actually cause you a lot of suffering. And so Kevin, if you, you know, if you would be able to take off a few pounds, it could really help you to run from those diseases. And Kevin, if it's okay with you, I'm just going to show you three easy things. And sometimes by now I've had people totally zone me out and I'm like, yeah, forget it. I'm not even going to go there. But some people are like, oh, that's awesome. Tell me what they are. And I'll tell people. Okay.
I need to shed some weight.
Sometimes I'll say, look, like the whole dieting thing. Okay. I've been meaning to talk to you about this for a while, Kevin. I'm glad we finally have the opportunity. I'll tell them, I'm like, okay, so there's this little book and I'm just going to summarize it quick. And I'll often get out like a sticky paper and just write down the three points. The first one, Kevin, is eat only food. When I say eat only food, I mean, eat the food that comes from the earth, the food that your grandparents, you know, ate on the farm. So stuff that isn't refined, you're getting rid of the processed flour and the processed sugar. You're eating, things that are whole grain, you know, nuts and things like that. The second thing, super easy to remember, but sometimes harder to follow, is not too much. So this is definitely my biggest pitfall, and I'm honest with people, because you know what, there's pleasure in eating and often it's just hard to stop, right? Like it just is. I get that. But if you can change your habits, things like eating off a small dinner plate, avoiding second helpings, avoiding eating after supper or after 8 p.m. Those are great ways to eat less. And then the third one is eat mostly plants. So we're not sure what it is exactly that plants are so wonderful for us, but they're basically magical. I think of them, they're high fiber, antioxidants that fight cancer, omega-3 fatty acids that are good for your heart. Like on the cancer note, I, and this is just a side note, but the rates of cancer in areas of the world that eat more vegetables than like North America, in places where they eat like a pound a day of fruits and vegetables, are 50% less likely to have cancer.
Wow.
So that's kind of the three things that I tell people. And often that's the end of the conversation. I'll just be like, look, I like, you know, don't take this personally. I'm telling you because you can make changes and you're going to have a better life if you do it. And that's legitimately my conversation that I have with people. And I actually met a lady last week who I did a pre-op assessment. And then 3 days later, I met her at day surgery. And with masks and stuff, sometimes you're trying to piece together who people are, right? And I said, I think I met you this week. And she goes, oh yeah, you're the one who gave me those 3 points on eating. And I was like, okay, I don't know if that's because you wish I wouldn't have, or if okay, it's because it was helpful. But anyway, I'm hope that it helps people along the way.
I'm going to see if I remember these points. And I just, for our listeners, there's a bit of a lag time because we're recording this on Zoom. So if you hear us and it sounds like we're talking over each other, we're not meaning to, it's just this lag time. So I'm going to see if I remember those 3 points. Okay. So it was eat food, and eating food means that we don't eat processed things, but things that are natural that come from the ground, like our grandparents ate. And secondly, is not too much. And third is mostly plants. I might have mixed those orders up, but I think that's what you said, isn't it? Those three.
Nope, that's totally how I said it.
Okay. So if I do that, I will move from a possibly change
from a 49-year-old
obese man to increasing my health and my quality of life.
Absolutely. And you know what? I've seen people who take weight off, who literally like go from 3 blood pressure medications down to 2 or down to 1, right? Like people who are having to take diabetic meds, like an oral version, who now are able to get off of them completely because they started taking care of themselves, right? And it makes a difference. It really does. And carrying around that extra weight's not good for us. And I know too, that some people have other issues underlying and stuff, right? That we eat because of, sadness that we've never dealt with, or things that, you know, if you can kind of manage those things, and sometimes it's just one little thing that you start to make a change with, right? And but to deal with that stuff so that you can make choices that lead to life,
would
be what I would say.
Confession time for me is like my big thing. Okay, there's two things that I love that I have to be really careful about. I don't let them in the house too much: chips and Coke.
Yeah.
Chips and Coke. I mean, I love those things. So I actually try not to have them in the house because I know my own weakness. If I have them in the house too much, I will eat them and drink them all the time. So I just don't have them around. That's my strategy.
It's totally true. I always say that if I can have self-discipline at the grocery store, that I don't have to have it at home.
Yes, that makes sense.
Right? Yeah. Because it's easier to do it for a short while than to know it's in your cupboard and it's like calling your name, right? Yeah.
Rochelle,
no, it's true.
I'm interested to hear, how would you actually define health?
How would I define health? Well, I looked up that definition. The World Health Organization defines it as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not nearly the absence of disease or infirmity. And I feel like that's pretty fair. I think I can agree with that. It's a picture of, it's a, I think health involves the entire person.
Yeah.
And none of those things can be disconnected. So
it's interesting too, because as a pastor, I mean, and I'm sure you probably are a person of faith, would probably add spiritual health too. And I've noticed that when my emotional health is lacking or my physical health and I don't have energy, it really affects my spiritual health. Like I may not have time to do the spiritual practices, or I might be cranky, so I don't do them, you know, or I do something like eat chips and drink pop and watch TV instead of doing things that are good for me. Right.
Totally. Yep. Totally. Yeah. No, it all connects together. And it's like when you go for a walk, it changes your emotional feeling, right? Which decreases things like depression and increases your energy levels. I heard a conversation about a couple of friends of mine last week, and they're both in their early 40s. And they were like, oh my goodness, since I turned 40, I just have no energy. And I kept my lips shut because I was like, it's not my time to speak. But I was like, go out and do something. Like, like, seriously, if you, you know, the average North American watches like 5 hours of TV a day, and that doesn't lead to life. So, you know, if we can get off our couches and stuff and move, it's so much better, and it affects everything. Absolutely. It's
really interesting you say that, because I know that if I'm feeling low fit, like low energy wise, or maybe even emotionally, it's really hard to do, but I have found that if I just jump on my bike and go for like a half hour, 45 minute bike ride, I will come back energized emotionally and physically, and I'm not tired anymore. And I'm not saying that's an easy thing to do. It is a really hard thing to jump on the bike, but I'm like, okay, well, let's try 5 minutes.
Yep.
And if I do 5 minutes, I know I'll do at least 20, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes. It's just to actually get on your bike. That's the hard part sometimes, right? Yeah. No, exactly. Getting your head around that. Absolutely. So
that's actually a good transition, I think, to my next question for you, Rochelle, is do you think exercise is as important as our consciousness and habits around food, or how are they related?
You know what? Absolutely. I think that I love that topic too. Exercise plays a huge role in our health. I think that we are made for exercise. When you actually look at the way that God made our bodies, like every system benefits from an active lifestyle. So you can talk about your brain, your blood vessels, your heart, your lungs, and your immune system. I went into nursing because I love the human body. I just think it's like the most beautiful piece of artwork ever. And you look at these, like these amazing ways we're made. And I was reading about these progenitor cells that are mobilized every time you exercise. So progenitor cells, their role is to rebuild and repair and remodel tissue throughout your body, which means they go and they fight bacteria and viruses and things like cancer and COVID and all of that. So every time you exercise, there's this like a splurge or a bolus of these cells that are released in your body to fight disease. So the immune systems of older people who exercise regularly are shown to function more like the immune system of a young person.
Wow.
There's so many neat things. I know I always say that I exercise to fight dementia, because that's like, if I could skip dementia before this life's over, I'd be really happy. So if there's a way to fight that, there's research that shows that men and women who exercise regularly in their 40s are significantly less at significantly less risk for dementia in their 80s and 90s. And you go, that is worth it. Like, no, like not only like what you're saying about getting on your bike and feeling like it makes this day better, but it also fights diseases that are gross that you don't want to have to ever deal with. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I think it's amazing. One of the things I in my studies that I found that it was really interesting. So I mentioned before all of these diseases that kind of go together to lead to early death, meaning obesity, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, smoking. Those things are all terrible. And especially when they're put together, they're worse. But the strongest predictor of an early death is actually low fitness. When they've done tests, there was a test done in South Carolina that followed 50,000 women over a span of many years. And it showed that even if you had those other things, even if you were overweight and had these other diseases, but still exercised, you did better than people who didn't do any exercise, who might have even been a healthier size. But like, so yeah, exercise is really key. And we're made for it. I really believe that.
So let's go back to our little game here that I'm really glad it's a game. I'm 49 years old. I'm very obese, and I want to make some changes in my life. How much time is required to make some changes? I mean, I'm a believer in taking tiny steps, right? So can I start by taking tiny steps? And you know, is there hope for me?
Absolutely. And you know what? There's hope for you no matter what size you're starting, no matter what age you're starting. You can be 89 and 400 pounds. You can start and you can do something and you can add life to yourself, whether that be time or just quality, right? So I know at my doctor's office and the participation rule on timing is 150 minutes in a week. That works out to 20 minutes a day. I kind of have it in my head that if you can do 30 minutes a day as a goal or as a baseline, that's like pretty magical. I think that that's a really good number to aim for. And I think pretty manageable for most people, right? It's really about priority. And I don't want to sound lame, and people have heard that before, but it really is. We find time to do the things that we think are important. Mm-hmm. And if you actually really do appreciate your health, then squeezing that time in on a regular basis is really great for you. So the more that you do, the better, but you don't have to start with some huge thing in your head. It just, and walking is, I think walking gets downplayed. You feel like, well, if I didn't go to the gym and have some big massive cardio session, or, you know, weightlifting, whatever, like, it doesn't have to be that way. You can start by walking 10 minutes, three times a day, to get your 30 minutes in. It all still counts.
Yeah.
I actually saw this neat study out of Japan, and it was from many years ago. An Osaka gas company asked their people, they asked the question, if people's walk to work was longer, would it decrease the risk of serious health problems like high blood pressure and stuff? And the author calculated that for every increase of 10 minutes in their walk to work, up to 30 minutes, there was a 12% reduction of likelihood of getting high blood pressure. So you're like, that's actually like, there's not too many people that, you know, that couldn't manage that in some form. I mean, even if you're in a wheelchair, go in your wheelchair for half an hour and use your arms. You know what I mean? Like, do what you can. Like, there's lots of things that we can do to start. And I think that one of the key things is to find something that you love, something that brings you life. I know that for yourself, you love mountain biking and road biking. One of my basic things I do all the time is just walking my dog. And it's seriously like my favorite part of the day. I try not to count that as my exercise because I enjoy doing other things, but it's a baseline if I've done nothing else. But yeah, walk your dog, ride your bike. Rollerblading. I love rollerblading. I'm 43 years old. I swear I'm the oldest woman in Leduc, Alberta, on my rollerblades, but I have so much fun. Put the tunes in my ears and I'm like, away I go. It's so great. And you don't even feel that you're sweating because the breeze and all the rest, right? Like, you just got to find stuff that you love and then connect to that.
Well, that
is huge.
That's really encouraging. And I think for our listeners, we're probably at all different levels, but, If you are really want to make a change, I think it's encouraging to know that we could just go for a walk, you know, and maybe find a friend who wants to go for a walk and have good conversations, which is good for your mental health too, you know, so
totally
all of us can do it. And what I've noticed is that, I've noticed this with my, eating habits. I really don't want to say diet because I think that's kind of a negative thing that we're trying to stay away from, but just healthy right. eating. I find that I gain momentum when I start. Like, does that make sense to you, Rochelle? Like with exercise too, I think once we start, we can gain momentum and be more and more encouraged as we go along.
Totally. Cause you see the difference, whether it be strength changes or you just start to feel better, right? Like for me, working as a nurse and doing lifting and stuff, I know when I'm not taking care of my core, like doing regular like sit-ups and push-up type stuff, because I start to feel my back is aching at work. Right. And so, yeah, you totally see the changes and then that encourages you to do more. Some people are quite competitive, right? My husband, like he can't wait to make a mile on the bike, right? Where he can say, I did this many kilometers this week, and it feeds him to do, you know, to get on again because he wants to make sure that he gets that in before the week is finished. Some people are wired that way, right?
Yeah.
For me, I'm probably less that way, but it is true. Everybody kind of has different motivation for it. And if you can kind of connect with how you're wired and do it because you enjoy it, I think that that's the bottom line.
Okay. So let's go back to me being this 49-year-old unfit obese guy. And so I want to make a change and I start doing these things. How much time does it take to start noticing a difference? And maybe what sort of things should I expect to notice?
You know what? I think that we need to be easy on ourselves. I think it depends on where somebody starts. I think you can watch some of these TV shows where you have people who are really quite large and they really go at it gung ho, and you'll see them take off like a astronomical amount of weight in a you know short time. And if your body doesn't need the weight, it's going to get rid of it. And so So sometimes at first, if you're starting off larger, it's going to go really quickly. I know for others, if you're sitting closer to where your body wants to be, you can take 4 or 5 weeks before you actually see, you know, any changes in terms of weight loss. And I've always believed that a goal, if you actually are wanting to take weight loss, if you want to be sustaining it and doing it in a healthy manner, 1.5 to 2 pounds a week is really all that you want to be doing, so that it's
right.
It's actually that's a sign of doing it in a healthy way. Right. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I think, you know, I can go a number of weeks without doing, you know, certain workout things or whatever, and you start to feel a little bit weak, and it doesn't take more than 3-4 times to, and it's hardest at first, but then you're like, oh, you start to feel stronger, whatever it is that you're doing. And I think you see changes quite quickly often. Right. And just being willing to hang in there, do it with a friend, do it with someone. I think that, you know, having accountability is a great way to go about it too.
Oh, you're totally right. Because I know that if I've had a bad week or bad 2 weeks of working out, it only takes one workout to make me feel better. It's amazing the difference in positivity you feel towards yourself totally. When you do that. It's so quick. Well, and I actually want to ask you if there's about some hacks. I love life hacks. And what are some, maybe I'll call them hacks or maybe mistakes we make with our diet that can be easily changed. I mean, I'll just share this with you, Rochelle, but one of the things that when I read food rules that I was impacted by was that we are one of the only, I think the only mammal that drinks calories other than nursing.
Right.
Right. So I've tried to substitute all of my calorie drinks with water. And that right. for me was quite a painless thing to do. It's just like substitute things out and just learn to love water. Anyway, that's a hack yep. that's worked for me. What hacks would you yep. suggest?
Yeah. You know what? I think I've mentioned this to you before. I have a little game I put with myself. It's dorky as it is. It may be. I get really excited when my grocery cart looks really healthy. When awesome. I like get to the till and I'm like, wow, this is like full of bright fruits and vegetables of all different colors. And, you know, and then of course there's, you know, there's other stuff in there that is a treat or whatever, but when it's mostly like 90% fruits and vegetables, that just makes my heart happy. That's one thing. But it's avoiding, you know, if you read labels and start avoiding foods with, I know, with if sugar's in one of the first three ingredients, that's a great food to avoid, you know. If you don't understand the names, if you can't pronounce the names and the ingredients, you know, avoid stuff like that. Try to shop the outside of the grocery store, because that's where you find the fresh stuff, you know, and that's what takes you back to what, like I said, our grandparents used to eat. So it's all that prepackaged stuff in the middle that, not that it's necessarily all bad, but if you can eat the fresh stuff for the most part, then the other part is just an extra, right? And your body's getting what it needs. I think I actually really believe that our society, I mean, you walk through a grocery store and see what is in all of the aisles and stuff. And I feel like we're an overweight society that's actually very malnourished. We eat so much crap, if you don't mind me saying,
yeah.
that's just, it's nutritionless. And, right. you know, whether it's Ichiban or Kraft Dinner or whatever. And like I say, it's not a thing. It's not a bad thing to have these things every now and then, but when it's like what your kids are growing up on, like, yeah, your body needs those vitamins and nutrients from all the good foods, right? So that were made for us. So it's like we're selling ourselves short, and it's actually really sad. And some of those foods are just easy half the time, right? But the more you eat of the healthy stuff, the more you want to eat of it. Like it, yeah. you start to crave it.
Totally.
You can, you know, go away for a while and eat out a couple of times, and you're like, oh, like I just need a good salad with an apple. Like, just, but that doesn't come from... Right. Like you have to eat that way normally to actually crave it. Cause otherwise, you know, we tend as humans to want the greasy, salty stuff. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, those are some good hacks. And I'm like, okay, the cart thing, I love the cart thing. And to me, that really ties in with don't let the chips and Coke into the house. They're enemies. Don't let them in. So you get a good cart and you know, you're bringing good things into your house.
Yeah.
Rochelle, any final thoughts you want to leave with our guests, with our listeners?
Yeah. You know what, Kevin, what I would say just in conclusion, I think to all these things is the underlying bottom line, which is that I believe with all my heart that God made every human with purpose and intention, and that he made us for big things. Mm-hmm. I think that he wants us to flourish and to live well. I know that it takes discipline, and I know there's some habits that we need to change sometimes to shed some pounds or to increase the amount of exercise we're getting, but it is so worth it. I think when we make changes, it decreases our suffering. And I mean that with all my heart. Sometimes I wish I could take people into the hospital and show them some of the suffering that happens at you know, when time has passed and people haven't dealt with their health. I think people can make changes to honor God with their body. And even as an act of worship to him, I think that what we do with our body either honors him or dishonors him by caring or not caring for ourselves. And I think, you know, if you can make the decision that it's not okay to follow the norms of society where a sedentary lifestyle and poor eating habits are okay, I believe that you were made for more than that. And also that you can do those things in freedom, you know, like I said at the beginning, like the whole diet piece, it's not life-giving, you know? Yeah. And I feel like a diet, the very word diet is like something that is just so you can lose weight so that you can get to some magical number so that you can put it back on again shortly thereafter. And this is so much bigger than that. This is about, you know, taking care of yourself so that you can live life and do all of the things that you were made for. I believe we were made for abundant, beautiful life. And yeah, that's the part I would love for people to take home about that. And it's attainable. We just have to, like you say, sometimes make a small choice, a couple of small choices put together and just keep adding to them. And the more that you eat and live that way, and the more you're going to want to. So the only other thing I would mention is that I would go back to is when you had talked about how the parts of our life fit together. Yeah. The one thing that I forgot to say was, when it comes to my spiritual life, connecting with the physical, as far as exercise is concerned, I actually don't tell people this, so it's funny I'm saying it on a podcast, but I would say that my best times with God are spent time exercising. And there's like, I have one friend who makes fun of me for the music workouts. It's not even like worship songs you've ever heard, but like, let me tell you, when you're like running, like there's the one song by Rend Collection, the Boldly I Approach Your Throne, you know, Blameless Now I'm Running Home. Oh my goodness. I'm like running towards the gates of heaven. Sometimes depending on who's around, I'll like start sprinting in those moments where it's just this like crescendo of beauty. Like it's amazing. And I think we can mix those things together and make it really beautiful, you know, whether it's praying while you walk, or listening to Kevin Green's podcast, you know.
Hey, thank you for
those things all, yeah, they blend together. You're welcome. Well, so yeah, no, that's what I would love to tell people is that there's a better way. And I hope that if anybody listens to this and can make even a couple or, you know, healthier choices, and myself included, it's a discipline that never goes away that we all have to continue working on. So.
Well, I think, I'm going to make some changes. I'm inspired, Rochelle, and I hope our listeners, I hope you are inspired to make some changes and to live a better life and to live into the things that you're called to do in this life and to live an abundant life. You know, this podcast is about talking about things that help us live better lives. And I was hoping, Rochelle, that you could share two things that have impacted you and helped you live a better life. And in particular, I've been asking my guests if they would recommend a book that's influenced them and also a daily practice or habit or some sort of discipline that's made a difference for you. So do you have a book that you'd like to recommend?
Yeah. You know what? I did mention Michael Pollan's Food Rules. So I would say that's a really easy read and a little trickier read, but very interesting. And I found quite life-changing actually was called Eat to Live by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. He's a medical doctor out of the United States. And I really found that book very challenging and very science-based on how what we put in our food and in our mouths makes a huge difference to our health, whether it be fighting cancer or cardiac disease or whatever else, but very pivotal book actually for me in the choices that I make. So that would be one that I would totally recommend.
Okay. And I will put those in the show notes.
So as far as a Yeah.
So sorry, it's again that Zoom lag time, but I'll put that in the show notes so that our listeners can see that, and you don't have to write that down. That'll be on the show notes. And as far as a habit, Rochelle?
You know what? I was trying to think about that, and I want to come up with some big profound thing, but I think, you know what I would say? I eat one or two pieces of chocolate every day. And I think that that's actually part of my desire to live free, and to remember that God made food just because he loves us and to bless us. And when I put chocolate in my mouth, as dorky as it might sound, it like reminds me that God loves me. It's the most, I buy cheap chocolate. I buy this big, it's dark Belgian chocolate from Walmart. It's $5 a bar. But you put that in your mouth and it's like the richness of the flavor of a deep, dark coffee or a fine wine. It's like just this moment of, and I have one or two little blocks a day. It's like my little thing that just, I don't know. It's something that I enjoy, and well, it's not like one. I have some profound moment every time I do it, but I'm like, this is my moment for my chocolate. And it helps you to be dedicated to eating lots of veggies otherwise.
That is one that just, I never dreamed you would say eat chocolate every day, but I love the context of that one or two small pieces. And I think our listeners are going to be, when are you going to get Rochelle back on with her recommends? Like, eat chocolate every day is one we can all go for, right?
Yeah. Maybe we should have started there.
Yeah, we should have started there. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Rochelle, for sharing your journey and advice and encouraging us to live a healthier life.
You're very welcome. I hope that it's helpful, Kevin. I'm honored to be a part of your podcast. So thank you.
So, hey, thank you for listening. And I hope that you feel better equipped to deal with life than you did before. And it has been great to talk about things that help us live better lives. And I look forward to connecting with you on our next podcast. Until next time, keep the faith and live in hope.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe so that you can catch all our future episodes. You can search for us as FBC Perspective on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.